Okay, in our worship tonight, let's be in prayer. We've got to be in prayer. First of all, my wife is not doing well at all, so we need to be in prayer for Judith this time. And we need to be in prayer for Kit. He has a friend that's a young man, and he's in love with this gal, and we're not sure if she's a Roman Catholic, even if she is, if she's a believer in Christ. So we have several things to be in prayer for in spiritual. Is that how you'd put it, Kit? How would you put that?
He's about 25.
Huh? No, just being the prayer.
Oh, that he's a believer and she may not be. Being in the Catholic Church, so we'll pray for her salvation.
Okay, very good. And your sister?
My sister-in-law is still waiting for the doctors to get their stuff together so she can get the surgery for her aneurysm.
So she's still in waiting?
Still waiting.
Okay.
Taking time.
All right. All right, any other things about prayer? Okay, let's go into prayer and go into our study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How grateful we are to pray that we can come to You with our prayers, lay them out toward You. Father, we pray You'll be with us tonight as we study Your Word. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Okay, now, we're in the midst of studying Egypt and Pharaoh and the children of Israel leaving Pharaoh, Egypt, and they're in need, great need of prayer, but they're not following Moses. They're fighting Moses all the way through. Now, along with him, along with that, we've got Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel, and Esther, and the battle that's going on there. And then we come to the church age, Jerusalem, Jews, and the city of Jerusalem is about to be taken care of as far as destroyed by in Jerusalem. So let's be in, they're going to be in need of prayer. So we've got that going on. Now, in our study, we're in the midst of looking at the Exodus generation. So I'm going to start out with some points of putting together some things together for our study. One, the Jews of the Exodus generation is used by the unknown writer of Hebrews, who, by the way, is rich in knowledge, and puts together this thing for our study to set us an example for the Jews living in Jerusalem in 67 A.D. Now, we'll talk about the Jews in Exodus generation, but right now we're also talking about the generation around A.D. 67 with the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, point two. Both generations, the Exodus generation and the apostolic generation, that's the six Jews of 67 A.D., were, at that time, they were reversionist backsliders in great deal of trouble, and that's why God has sent them, the writer and speaker of
kind of like
what the U.S. is right now. Yeah. All right, now three. However, one generation, the Exodus generation, was out of the land trying to get in while the other, the apostolic Jews, are in the land and they went out. So these are the two problems we have going on right now historically. But essentially, the condition of the soul was the same about the Exodus generation and the apostolic group in 67 A.D. Born-again believers who are negative to the Word of God, to the point of being reversionist and full of complications and their rejections against the Word of God and against the writer, that would be Peter and Paul. Apostolic. The apostolic means simply here refers to the church age teaching of the church age at the time of the beginning of the church age. Now, four. So we're putting these things together. One generation was punished by the sin of death and the desert. They were going to be killed in the desert. The other one punished by the sin unto death in Jerusalem in 70 A.D. by Rome. So the same thing is going on to both of them as far as being disciplined by God with the sin unto death, and one in the desert, one at home. Now, finally, five. Both generations reached the point of the sin unto death in exactly the same manner. Negative and apathetic to the true teaching of the Word of God in the Exodus generation and in the generation of 67 A.D. They both failed to feed on spiritual food of the Word of God. Now that brings us to chapter 4 tonight. Chapter 4 goes, now chapter 4 goes with chapter 5. I should be able to, should just begin this morning, tonight, reading chapters 4 and 5, but just so you'll know, they both go together. Now, chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also did. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard it. Now we're talking about the generation of the Exodus generation. Now three. For we who have believed enter the rest. People who believers enter the rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath. This is God speaking in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. As I swore in my wrath, they certainly shall not enter my rest. Although his workers were finished from the foundation of the world. In other words, the work of God was completely over. Okay, verses 1 through 3. We have the application of Isaiah's failure, of the nation of Israel's failure to reach spiritual maturity in the Exodus generation. We have five questions. That's what we looked at last week. Five questions. You can read them sometime again, chapter 3. We have noted a conclusion, now the historical application of it. Five questions, the conclusions, and now the historical application of Israel's failure to reach maximum maturity in the Exodus generation. So it starts off in verse 1, therefore. This is given to remind us that the application applied to the Exodus generation is the conclusion of the matter as far as the Exodus generation is concerned. With the last chapter, chapter 3, that the Exodus generation is a failure generation. They're all believers, but it's a failure generation. And therefore, this is parallel to the generation to whom this was originally written by the writer in Hebrews in 67 AD. Now, this people have now lived some 2,000 years, and it's a part of the Word of God to remind you that you too can be most of a part of a failure generation, and your contribution is the same as theirs, negative to the Word of God. Now, let's move into the introduction. Started off, therefore, let us fear. Let us fear. The Bible is very clear when it tells us not to be afraid of anything. Fear is a mental attitude sin. And in Isaiah 41:10, it says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxious about anything." Now, look about you. "And I am your God," continuing the study of Isaiah, reading, "I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." The problem of the Exodus generation is that they did not trust God. That's what's going on. Every believer needs to know and understand 2 Timothy 1:15, 1:7. In fact, let's look in the Bible, 2 Timothy 1:7. Every believer needs to understand 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and discipline." First, this was lacking by the Exodus generation that had fear and therefore died the sin unto death. But in the church age, every believer has been given, every believer with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Every believer in the church age has been given the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And as long as you have faith in the Holy Spirit, you will not have fear in your soul. That will remove the fear. The Exodus generation, failure, and their bodies were cast out into the desert. There is nothing wrong with dying. We're all going to die outside of the rapture generation. But there is much going on that's wrong with the way they died, the sin unto death. If they had to die the sin unto death, that was not good. They died horribly, painfully, and before their time. So they died horribly, painfully, and before the time of their death. Everyone in the Exodus generation should have stayed alive and gone into the promised land. But not a one of them did. Same thing was to happen to the great catastrophe of history, the siege of Jerusalem, and to the Jews in 67 A.D., church age. They died horribly. Some of them ate their children. And the same thing may be happening in America, but we do not need to have fear of the death. Therefore, let us fear. Let us not fear. Now, every believer in the church age does not need to be in fear about anything, anyone. Our only fear is about missing out on the growth of the Word of God. That's our fear. This is a negative fear, meaning let us neglect or to leave behind a promise behind being unclaimed. Don't leave a promise unclaimed. God has these things for you. Therefore, all you have to do is to have the cup in your hand and your soul, and God will pour into the cup and fill it the blessing. It is filled with Bible doctrine, and all God has to do is to keep pouring in your soul. Now, let's stop for a moment and talk about the world. Not America, but the world. There are people, believers, who die early. Not because of sin unto death, but because of what's going on in history. And this is what God is going to have going on. God has them prepared them while it is going to happen. You leave a promise unclaimed. It's your fault. You're the loser. If you leave a promise unclaimed, it's your own fault. And you're the loser with it. Now, while a promise remains of his rise. Think about this in your daily life. God has declared something wonderful for you, and you go right on, and you will not listen to Him, and you will not grab the grace that is there with you. You leave it unclaimed to God in your life. The Jews in 67 A.D. were reversionist, or in historical things going on from the Romans. All these things are going on. Now, in his writing of Hebrews, the writer is warning believers that is something that can happen to believers at all times. You leave a promise from God unclaimed. You're the loser. Look at the name of Jesus Christ. Just think of His name. Know Him. Do you know Him that way? Do you know Him by knowing those names? You miss out by the characteristic of Jesus Christ that you failed to know in your own life. What do you mean? Names of Jesus. Well, let me just go through some of them. And I want you to think about your prayer life. Prayer as Savior. Redeemer. Bread of life. Lord. Creator. Not Son of the Living God. Only Beloved Son. Beloved Son. Holy One of Israel. use in your prayer life, wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. How about that? When things are not going right in your life. King of Kings, thinking about the ending times. Head of the church. Almighty. Master. Alpha and Omega. And it goes on and on. When you pray to God about Jesus, do you pray in reference to Jesus like counselor? I need you in my life today as my counselor. Again, so many believers miss out on aspects of Jesus in their lives, knowing Him that way. Another losing in your life. While a promise remains of entering His rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it, come short of a promise from Him. God has a plan for your life. This plan has multitude of blessings, multitude of blessings. God wants you to pour and pour into our souls His blessing. God wants to share His perfect happiness. Know Him. Talk with Him. In this manner, day by day in your life. Some people that are married don't even do it when they're married. Some people when they're married do. But we're talking here about believers talking with God, with Christ. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us. I love that. We've had good news preached to us. Some of us have. Just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them. Because, there's that powerful because, it was not united by faith in those who heard. Now let's read verse 2 again. Indeed, we have had good news preached to us, and we have, some people have. Growing up, I had a good preacher when I was a little boy. And then, of course, Houston, going to Baraka, and then in the Dallas Seminary. But just as they also, so they also had good news taught to them, but it didn't profit them. People, does the teaching of the Word of God from a good pastor profit you? Why did not it profit them? Because it was not united by faith in those who heard the teaching. For indeed, this introduces the reason for being based in the previous verse of fear. If you have believed on Jesus Christ as Savior, you should be afraid of only one thing. You should be afraid only of the thing of missing blessings from God. There is something that ought to frighten you. We ought to be frightened of missing wonderful blessings from God. Now, verse 2. For indeed, we have good news preached to us. Now, I'm 80 years old, and I love hearing the good news taught to me, even now. And I did as a child, from people older understood the truth. But I want you to think about this. Everything, every time you think of 70 AD and the destruction of Jerusalem, is that throughout the land of Jerusalem, the good news of the gospel was proclaimed and is proclaimed today and rejected today, as that day, and it was given, preached by them in 67 AD up to 70 AD and all the way through church age history. Now, let's open your Word of God to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. O come, let's sing for joy to the Lord. Let's shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation, that's Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Let's come before His presence with thanksgiving. So just think about verse 1 and 2 so far. We shout before the Lord, talk about Him as a rock of our salvation, and we give thanksgiving. Let's shout joyfully to Him with psalms, singing. Verse 3, for the Lord is a great God, there's another thing He is, and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth, the peaks of the Roman of the mountains are also His. The sea is His, for it was He who made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Sea, dry land, to glorify Christ. Verse 6, come, let's worship and bow down. Let's kneel before the Lord, our Maker. New definition, our Maker. And He is our God. And we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Think about His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, that's the great issue, if you hear His voice. 8. Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day of Massa in the wilderness, which we're in the midst of studying, when your fathers tested me. This is God talking. Your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they had seen my work. They saw Him leave Jerusalem, leave the Egypt, millionaires. 40 years, easy of a due pay. Verse 10. For 40 years, I loathe that generation. Now that's impressive. That's so sad of God, having to loathe a generation. And said, they are a people who err in their heart. God gave them, brought them out of Egypt, gave them wealth, took care of them, feed them, but it was in their heart. And they do not know my ways. Do you know His ways? And in verse 11, therefore I swore in my anger, truly they shall not enter my rest. That was the generation that died sin unto death. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, for indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, so here is the writer of Hebrews introducing to us and something in the message that had good news. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And we have had the same gospel preached to us. That generation heard the good news and did nothing after believing. They believed, but that was it. And now, he says, the current generation have it preached, and they ought to believe it. But now, some comes the great word, but they don't. But the word they heard did not profit them. Does the word of God profit you? Now, people, this is so important. Yes, the gospel brought them salvation, but that was it. The gospel did not go into their souls to change their lives. I hope you are listening. Having the gospel leads to salvation should bring you to salvation, but much more than just salvation. I hear preachers say that that unless your life is not changed, then you did not hear it, and your faith is of no value. They like to say that. Well, that's wrong. That's wrong. The teaching of the Word of God, you hear it, you believe it, and that's it. But what about the rest of your life? Now that you are saved, some people hear the gospel and hear it and believe in Jesus Christ. And that's it. That's it. They do not continue on the Word of God. Do not grow on in the Word of God. But here it is, right here in this part of Hebrews. This is what Hebrews is about, all about. It is about some people who heard the preaching of the Word of God, believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, and that's it. That's it. And the gospel does not profit them, does not profit their lives. It profits their salvation, but not their lives. But please, don't allow anyone to try to tell you that you got to do more than just hearing and believing in the gospel. Hebrew is so important in multitude of truths, and gospel, and the gospel will save you. Yet, there is so much more to learn from the gospel. But there are multitude of people in other countries who are that grasp is for the truth of the gospel. And they hear it, and they're saved eternally. And yes, there are some people who know more from the Bible, but they reject much more of what they do learn. But they're saved all the rest. They're saved forever. Therefore, is so much the Bible put if so much truth of the Bible is put is but if you are negative after salvation, you lose out in your own life. Your salvation, but you lose out. Let's look at some things. Refusal to hear. 2, refusal to believe by the Holy Spirit. And 3, refusal to live by faith in the Christian life. So these are the 3 things I want to look at for a moment. Refusal to hear, it's what a lot of people do. Refusal to believe. And then others, refusal to live by faith in the Christian life. Now, people believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, but they fail to press on to maturity. He is like the Exodus generation who hear the gospel, but never press on to maturity. Then there are those believers who hear doctrine taught, but who never press on power to the, of the Holy Spirit and grow on in the Word of God. He lives his life quenching the Holy Spirit, grieving the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, which was we looked at, the refusal to live by faith in the Christian life is a believer talked about James called a hearer of the word, but not a doer. That's what James calls them. A hearer of the word, but not a doer of the word. Now, so we got those three things. Now the fourth one. The believer who refuses to be consistent. The believer who refuses to be consistent. And there are a lot of believers like that. They come to church, they listen to the Word of God, and they even grow for a while. But something comes along, and they're gone. It's really nice to be in the Word of God, but now they've got something that's even better, something more enjoyable. Or they become disturbed in life. Some come along in life, but then when things do come along with difficulties in life, some hurt for a while in life, in their marriage, in their work. They go off to the, they come back to the church for a while, and then after a while, they're gone. Five, the believer takes in the doctrine for a long period of time. They learn a great deal of doctrine. Then they reach a point in history when they are, when they get old, or they serve the Lord in other ways. They want to serve the Lord in many ways. Want to be a missionary. Want to be a helper. Want to work with young people, working with other people. They are like the ones in Revelation 2, whom they are too busy for the Lord. They no longer love Him. They no longer love the Lord. Oh, they knew the truth. They knew the truth. And then they started out working and working for the Lord and then stopped loving the Lord. This group are not the big sinners, but they are the big workers. And to this people, the Lord talks about actually removing them out of history. Now, for indeed, continuing our study now, for indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard it. Now, the only way the Word of God can be a profit to you is by faith. Putting faith with it, you can put in a whole lot of knowledge, understanding, on and on and on, but until you take it with faith, that's the only way it's profit of you. So faith is the only way for the Word of God to profit your life. Faith is the means of salvation. Faith is the means of our walking in Christ. Faith is the means of profiting in Christ. So let me give those again. One, faith is the means of salvation. Faith is the means of walking in Christ. Faith is the means of profiting in Christ. All right, let's know a few things. One, both generations. Now when I say generations, I'm talking about the Exodus generation of Pharaoh and the generation of the Jews in the church age. Now, the apostolic period of the Jews, both by faith in Jesus and the Messiah, they both had believers. They both were believers. Two, the Exodus generation, well, believers, but they were reversionist for 40 years. For 40 years, the Exodus generation. Now, point three, the apostolic generation of believers in Jerusalem will have almost identical 40 years of reversionist. The 40 years of reversionist started on Pentecost, at Pentecost, and terminated in August 70 AD in the destruction of Jerusalem. So those are the two things there. Now, point four. However, Hebrews is a warning in the reversionism, apostolic period of believers in Jerusalem. It's a warning to them. The great demonstration of the apostolic, of the apostasies, the apostasy of these believers, Jews, is their rejection of the ministry of their Holy Spirit and the apostle of Peter and Paul. Now, in Jerusalem, in Peter, they did hear the gospel and believed in the gospel. But with Paul, they totally rejected Paul's teaching. Totally rejected Paul's teaching, and in that way, differ from the Exodus generation, but also in that way are exactly like the Exodus generation. Now, point five. The believing Jews, 67 to 70 AD, that's the time of the Jerusalem, destruction of Jerusalem by Rome, were to reap what they had sowed instead of reaping what God had sowed. So, where it was generation of the Exodus generation or the Jewish believers of the beginning of the church age, they followed the same pattern. The point of Hebrews is a warning to believers throughout the church age, now and then. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. Hebrews 4, 3. Okay, you see an understanding. We who have believed enter that rest. Oh, people, every believer is living for in the fulfillment of Romans 8:28. And in Romans 8:28, and we know that God calls all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. There's so much involved. So much here. First of all, the goodness that God is going to bring on you, but it's got to be with your loving God and called according to His purpose. Most people don't love God that way. Always be alert to Revelation 2, to Ephesians, the Ephesus group in Ephesians and Revelation 2, those who left their love of Jesus Christ. What a tragedy. Romans 8 speaks of love toward God, and Revelation 2 speaks of love toward Jesus Christ. many believers think they love of Christ and of God, while in truth they're too busy doing so many things for God and Christ. They do not truly love God. They do not truly love Jesus Christ. We love Jesus Christ when we consistently keep His commandment. We love Jesus Christ when we consistently keep His commandments of 1 John 5:4 or John 14:15, which says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Do you love Him? John 14:15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." John 14:21, He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. Not just knows it, but who keeps them is the one who loves Him. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my word, and my Father will love him." Knowing about love, knowing about the Holy Spirit, the truth of the Holy Spirit is love. Galatians 5:22. The Holy Spirit is love. Faith in the Holy Spirit works through love. Galatians 5:6. Romans 5:5. And hope does that not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This should make any of us uncomfortable when we think of always loving Him by always keeping His commandments. To love Jesus Christ, to love God, is so well seen in Romans chapter 1, verse 5, in the obedience of faith. So, in life, to love Jesus Christ is to obey Jesus Christ, and by the obedience of Christ is by faith in Jesus Christ. Three words: obedience, faith, love. Love is a treasurer of Jesus Christ. Faith is our trusting of Jesus Christ. Love is a treasurer of Jesus Christ. Faith is for a trusting of Jesus Christ. Obedience is a service toward Jesus Christ. We cannot love Jesus Christ without trusting. We cannot trust without obeying. But this we know, love, that He laid down His life for us. 1 John 3:16. God shows His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:4. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friend. John chapter 15, verse 13. How do we know if we love Jesus Christ? How do you know? We know that love is by what love does. So, we know we truly love Him, not by what we say, but if we consistently trust Him by obeying what His commands. Trust. True love continues in the midst of unbelieving suffering. If you truly love Jesus Christ, you love every believer. John 16:27, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. Just as he said, as I swore in my wrath, this they should not enter my rest. Although work was finished, my work was finished from the foundation of the world. So we have come across to the love of Jesus Christ. We'll resume here next Wednesday night on Hebrews chapter 4, verse 5. Let's close in a word of prayer. We do love Jesus Christ, and we want so much to love day by day. But Father, we have a sin nature. We fail. But we come right back to loving Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that this generation, believers, will not be like the Exodus generation, but be a believers who love the Lord in their soul. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.